Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspirational women to help change our mindset and motivate our day. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Samantha Louise Nelson. Hello and welcome, Samantha. Great to talk to you.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Bless you. It's brilliant to talk to you today. Samantha Louise is a leadership cultivator who empowers women to lead and uses her biological science, epigenetics, body wellness knowledge, and the power of story to help transform young women's lives. So thanks for chatting to us. And it's late for us in the afternoon and early for you. You're in Minnesota, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Wow, how's it going over there? What's the weather like?
It's freezing cold. It's about negative 10 Fahrenheit and windy and snowy this morning.
Negative 10? Oh my goodness, that really is cold.
Yeah.
And where is it? Whereabouts is Minnesota?
Essentially right in the middle of the United States and then all the way up against Canada.
Wow, so how's lockdown been for you there?
I'm in rural Minnesota, so it hasn't been too bad.
Really?
Not since the onset of everything. The state, unless you're in a metro area, it's relatively open and free.
Really? And you've worked from home and everything like that?
Yes.
Wow. So you really are out in the middle and in the freezing cold. Well, if it makes you feel any better, we've had terrible storms here and it's just been constant. So thanks for chatting to us. And I hear you discovered the Influential Women Podcast as a listener. How cool is that? All the way over there in Minnesota.
Yes.
Did you just stumble across it on one of the podcasting platforms or?
Yeah, I've been curious about meeting more and more women that are international influencers or international leaders as I've been on my journey of finding people in local communities or regional spaces. But I've recognized that women who have the international mindset to influence think differently. Not a good or bad different. It's just a different mindset to connect people.
How lovely is that? And what did you think then? What was it that inspired you?
Like I said, this different kind of a mindset where I sometimes find that more local connections of women have this microscopic view on how change can happen. But what I find with your audience, with your guests, is that we can make change, we can influence with really simple things, simple but not always easy to do, that can cross cultures, they can cross different spaces in the world and be effective for everyone.
Oh,
you just
brilliant.
Have to bring
well,
it into your own world.
I'm inspiring you over there in Minnesota. It's just like a radio show. We should do one.
Yes.
So that's brilliant. And thanks for reaching out, as they say. And it's great to chat to each other. So we both have a passion to help uplift and inspire women. And wow, boy, oh, you are qualified in women's leadership and empowerment in the workplace. And your CV is amazing, like off the scale with your qualifications. But you help transform worlds by the power of story. What do you mean by that? Is that the stories we tell ourselves, the narrative, and you encourage people to change their scripts they tell themselves? Is that how it works?
Yes, it's a combination of, it's an integration of the inner world and the outer world. So how do we start inside of ourselves, that self-leadership aspect? How do we start inside of our own minds? When you wake up first thing in the morning, what are the things you're hearing that you say to yourself? And where did you learn them? All throughout the day, what are the things that run through your mind? And I think as women, it's really easy for us to say, well, I taught myself. I taught myself to be hard on myself. I taught myself to be a perfectionist. But we didn't. We learned from someone in our culture, whether it was a parent or a teacher or whoever it might have been that was influential in our own development. So that rewriting of scripts and the storytelling looks like, what are the stories that we have been told that we've taken into our bodies and our mind? And then what are the stories that we continue to perpetuate that no longer serve us, that might actually be dysfunctional for our physiological well-being, as well as our spiritual, emotional, social well-being. So it's the inner and outer aspects of storytelling.
That's so cool. So we literally can change it then, can we?
Yes. Anything we can learn, we can unlearn and relearn or repeat.
I love it. And your voice is so soothing. I mean, I love your accent, but you know, you're qualified in all of that as well. And I'll come on to that. But I saw the video on your website about being our authentic best selves and the trailblazers of tomorrow. And it is so soothing hearing you. And you're so supportive to your own community, helping young women. Why did you want to help young women particularly?
Originally, in my professional life, I was a teacher.
Oh.
So I was on this journey of trying to help girls, specifically in middle school. I taught little kids like ages 3 all the way through ages 21. But my specialty and my favorite area was with middle schoolers. So 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls, where I noticed that in that developmental time frame, they're starting to recognize that they are no longer part of their parents, right? They don't identify as like a connection to mom and dad or whoever they're guarding.
Even that young, really, they start to detach.
And start to have these questions about why are other people seeing me differently than how I see myself?
Interesting. So that started your thought process.
Exactly. So that's really, in my career, I was a health and physical education teacher. So I wanted to have the opportunity for the mind-body transformation.
Connection, because you've done yoga and meditation and all sorts of incredible holistic stuff, haven't you?
Yeah,
absolutely. Amazing. You've got it all and you're bringing all your gifts together. But what were you like in middle school then? What did you think of yourself?
Yeah, I when I was growing up, I was liked by everybody. I had a ton of friends, but I grew up in a really, really little school. I only had 30 people in my whole grade, right? Wow. So I graduated from high school with 30 kids.
Amazing. Wow, the photo of the whole graduation.
Exactly.
That's incredible,
so,
isn't it? So
yeah.
You literally show women how to face their demons, really, isn't
yes.
it? And recover from
yes.
old wounds, increase their self-worth. And we all need this, but particularly in lockdown, this pandemic and one thing after the other. What would your top 3 tips be to help women, you know, young women and all women be stronger and to move forward as a, you know, as a superpower? What would
yeah.
3 tips be that you'd offer?
Number 1 is to slow down. And if it's not too scary, to just stop and spend time doing absolutely nothing once in a while, right? Creating blank space or white space on a calendar to literally do nothing. Give yourself permission for that. Yes.
Because we all carry that guilt, don't we? Guilt as a,
yes.
as a worker, guilt as a parent, guilt as whatever, that we should be doing something else.
Yeah.
So literally stop. And then well, then all this wisdom and knowledge come into our world.
First, the demons will come.
Oh, dear.
Right? Like you just said, the guilt comes in. I should be doing this. I should
yes.
be out doing that. What right do I have to stop and take care of myself? So number 1 is stop or slow down, at least. Number 2 is start listening to those voices. When the demons come in, offer a release of somehow, right? There are thousands of different modalities, journaling, meditation, movement, whatever it is. So number 2 is hear them. And number 3 is release them. Once you start to hear those voices, surrender them, let them go, whatever process that looks like for you. So that in this phase 3 of releasing, that's when the inspiration and the wisdom starts to surface.
Wow, that's what we all need right now. It's so simple, isn't it? Why don't any of us do this? But we've been punishing ourselves in lockdown in terms of that gratification, haven't we? Eating too much, drinking too much, you know, doing too much. We're all just going crazy, aren't we?
Yeah, thinking too much.
Thinking too much. Yeah, that's true. And it is a thing, isn't it? And women tend to lack confidence in themselves, don't they? They have imposter syndrome. They feel powerless. And particularly in the workplace that you deal with and in education. So to get that confidence and self-worth, push themselves forward to be leaders and match their confidence with their ability, what do we have to do?
Yes, this is so fascinating to me. Like I said, when I was teaching middle schoolers, I wish I would have known some of what I know now.
Oh, I know. Or taught the things that you do in schools, because there's all sorts of subjects we really don't need at school, and so many that we do need that are just missing for our whole lives, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. So
Wow.
this developing self-worth, I learned through something called biocognitive science. In the process of developing self-valuation, you have to start with committing to self-caring commitments. So simple things like if you wake up in the morning and say that you're going to meditate for 1 minute, then try to at least start doing that, because inside of yourself, subconsciously, unconsciously, you're abandoning yourself when you don't.
Oh,
So the
really?
self-worth starts to deteriorate even more. So when we're making lists and overdoing self-caring commitments, sometimes that can be even more detrimental, right? So starting with just really simple, easy to do things that you love, creating rituals throughout the day that are very significant and meaningful to you as a person. So start by committing to self-care. That in turn starts to increase your self-worth, and that starts to level up your courage. Start to
Gosh,
do things
it's
that
great,
you normally
isn't
wouldn't.
it? The power of the mind. And you are so qualified. You hold a master's degree in educational leadership and organizational systems change, an instructorship in biocognitive science, as you mentioned, that a lot of us didn't even understand, and are now pursuing a doctorate in leadership and learning in organizations. So you're at university now, online, presumably remotely, in the Vanderbilt, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
So you just love learning as well, don't you? Is this it? Are you going to stop after this?
No. I
Really?
think this passion for learning is about, like you just said, the power of the mind
Yes.
and the connection of the mind and the body and the soul. And I know there are things in that connection that we will never be able to explain, that mystical spiritual quality of life. But I want to learn how to better explain it to people, so that when people hear about what I do, sometimes they'll say, "Oh, that's new agey. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, there's no science behind that."
Oh,
And I say,
really?
"There is science behind it. And if that's what you want, I can teach it to you. If you just want the experience, I can design an experience too." So for me, it's about crafting a personalized experience, but also if someone wants to know what's going on inside of me when we're doing this, I can tell them, I can help them understand that better.
Really? Well, for the mind, the body, and the spirit all combined together, as well as the work. So what's it called that you actually, if you were to explain in 20 words when you meet someone at a party that none of us are allowed to go to yet, what would you say you do then that makes them sound new agey?
Well, I've learned how to speak it a little bit differently, but when I talk about biocognitive science as kind of the epicenter of my work, right? I'm a women's leadership cultivator, and I help women tap into these untapped natural resources that are coded within them. And it's usually that kind of language where, like, well, if it's coded within you, that sounds weird. What does that even mean? So then we can start talking about epigenetics and going more into the science of how things are transferred, how much our DNA and our genes have to do with who we are and who we can become, or how little they have to do with it.
Really, and nature and nurture and everything that you take on, really at a cellular level, is what you're talking about.
As much as I can. I'm not the researcher doing that stuff, but that's what I love to go read and learn about.
Wow, so it's really deep stuff, isn't it? But if you were to simplify it for some of our listeners who aren't quite grasping it, what it is, it's really making people feel better about themselves, doing better in their work, and just anything that they're struggling with that's trapped in their cells at a cellular level, in moving them to that next level and feeling better, really.
Yes, absolutely. Self-transformation so that you can show up to serve other people better for the rest of your life. It's about
Wow.
longevity, not just about like, let's feel better for a week. And then next week, you're going to be down
Feeling
again.
rubbish
Next
again.
week. Yeah, exactly.
Because
So, how do
we've
you make a
been
permanent
oscillating.
switch?
So it's permanent. So we've been oscillating, you know, the highs have been higher, the lows have been lower. It's made us all over the place. Everyone struggled with their mental health. So really, it's a shift in terms of everyone feeling a bit negative and a bit rubbish about themselves. You can do that through how they're thinking, what they're eating,
how they move,
and focusing really on themselves first.
Yes.
Because otherwise, it's like the oxygen thing, isn't it? You can't help anyone else unless you're all right yourself in the head, mind, and body.
So we need to move more then.
Or less. Some people need to move less.
Or move less. Yes, it depends. Wow. So, some of these qualifications are mind-blowing in itself. But you really are on a huge mission. It's a lot of studying, huge skill set. So what do your programs entail to help young women become leaders? Because some of them aren't given the chances, or some are a bit afraid that, you know, that they're not suitable for that role if they're influencing over men, and men listen to our podcast too. But how do we make young women feel more powerful in themselves like that to lead?
Yeah, first, starting with young girls, like middle schoolers and high schoolers, is creating space for conversations where girls can learn how to express their emotions, what they're feeling and thinking, and validating that their experience is true, it's real for them, but making a decision that if you're angry, you don't have to step into life and attack everything with anger. You can let go of the anger and learn from it and decide what you want to do next about that. If there was an injustice that happened to you or someone hurt your feelings, you don't have to attack the rest of the world because of that. You can heal from it. Yes. And then move forward and lead a different life. And it's the same for every, yes, exactly. Yeah. Same for the whole way through life.
Because we all have those triggers, don't we? Those sort of hot buttons. Yes. That people can say or do something that might be pretty mindless to them, but can just really change us. So what do we do about that then?
We develop that awareness. So those three tips that you asked about earlier, it's this practicing when you're at home, practicing when you're by yourself, how to become more aware. What are the emotional charges inside of you? It might be something you see, might be something you hear. It could be a smell from the past. And just recognizing, like, when you start to feel different, when your body starts to feel upset or irritated or tense or hot, all of those qualities of the physical self are messages that there's an emotional need that hasn't been met, an emotional need that from a long time ago, we learned that it was not worth speaking or not worth addressing.
Well, they didn't feel safe.
Exactly.
It's a fight or flight sort of instinct.
Precisely.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it, with the mind? And as you mentioned, you've done health and exercise. We mentioned you've done yoga and meditation, but you've done weightlifting and strength and performance and holistic care and helped people in the community. So you're a real giver, aren't you, in terms of wanting everyone to feel okay?
Yeah.
And you obviously feel okay. You look great. And, you know, and obviously longevity you go for as well. So with this transformation and shift, it can prevent disease and behavior and make us live longer and everything, presumably.
Because we get rid of all our
stuff.
Living longer in good health instead of living longer like hooked up to a machine, or living longer with someone else transporting and caring.
Yes. Exactly. Living longer in good health is what everyone dreams for, isn't it?
Yes.
Gosh, you're doing some wonder stuff. And you've written about it recently. Is that right? Was that this year something's come out, hasn't it? Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm part of a couple of different anthologies. They'll be released this spring. So one of them is with a community called Blue Talks. And it's like an alternative to TED. So Blue stands for Business Life Universe. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to bring in that spiritual and more existential side of life into your leadership journey and explore and explain stories in your life where you've been serving and these synchronicities and unexplainable things happen.
Wow.
So it's a platform. Exactly. Yes. And then there's another book called The Butterfly Effect, How Women Change the World. And my story in that book is about the golden thread of whimsical wisdom. So it's how women transfer knowledge and skills and compassion and authority from one generation to the next in order to transform community or revitalize whatever it might be or invent something new that the world needs.
Wow. So do you think then with the spiritual side that the law of attraction and, you know, you attract where you're at and these sort of expressions of actually we do energetically attract bad things or good things into our life because of how we're vibrating terms of the universe and the books, The Secret, and all of those law of attraction.
Yes. And I think there's this, one of my mentors explained it to me like selective perception. So not only are you attracting it energetically, but without realizing it, you're looking for it. You're going for it. You're trying to get more of that in your life, whether it's healthy or not.
Really?
Right. If you want more solitude and alone time in life, all of a sudden you'll notice, you'll find yourself, if you're really in a deep practice, all of a sudden, if it's too much, you might be isolated.
Yeah. So really careful what you wish for, really.
Yes. Be intentional.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Be intentional. That's so true.
Yeah.
So I've read that you have said that the ability to establish a foundation for your own self-leadership opened your heart and mind to limitless possibilities to support other women to become unstoppable, compassionate leaders. And how beautiful is that? So do you want to share some of your initiatives with us? I know you've got some retreats and circles and things. What happens with those?
Yeah, absolutely. With girls, middle schoolers and high schoolers specifically, once a month, we get together on Zoom and we have virtual circle. So we have the traditional talking piece, virtual talking piece, of course, but like I said before, it's just this opportunity for girls to express themselves, to learn how to embrace their unique identity, and start to learn what empowerment really is. Instead of being, like I said, instead of being angry at the world, how do you come about strong girlhood and bring your power to the world, but still be compassionate and not bossy?
I bet they enjoy that sort of age room as well. And it will give them tools for life, won't it?
Absolutely.
And actually in Iceland and places like that, I love the fact that they said they've gone away from all the stereotypes and they get the boys to sit and talk about their feelings and they get the girls to jump off chairs and say, I'm strong and brave.
Yes.
And I just love that. And their equality is amazing. We could learn from what they do from a very young age.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. And as you're saying that, something is coming up for me about when I grew up. I'm in a rural community, right? But I had a mom who was a principal and superintendent at a public school. Yeah. I had a female pastor. We had a female vet. There were women all around me in leadership. So I thought it was normal for girls to be in charge of things.
Yes, your role models, they were
very strong. Yeah, but then I grew up and I saw that the opposite was true, right?
Where that was confusing for you. Yes, it must have been.
So
no strong, positive male role models.
Well, there were. I just never realized when I was growing up and hearing women talking about how difficult it is to be in leadership, I didn't understand why, because I didn't see I saw women leading and they didn't talk about that stuff.
Yes, so it wasn't your reality, was it?
Right.
So your new initiatives, and you do retreats. How do you do that? Presumably you can't do that face to face yet.
Right now, actually, I'm getting ready for my first in-person retreat. Yeah,
oh, really?
I'm co-hosting it with my aunt, which is going to be really fun.
I'm on my way over.
Yes,
cool
is it is in Minnesota, but I'm getting ready to start doing more in-person, whether it's a week long or a day and a half kind of a thing, just starting to bring women together for community.
And what will you do? You do those spiritual exercises and build esteem and confidence and everything at those, do you?
Yeah. So my approach is really about bringing interfaith, interdisciplinary exercises so that women can explore what suits them best, right? Like, I'm not, you're not going to come to my retreat and leave with me having told you that you must practice Kundalini yoga because that's the only way.
Oh, so you bring the yoga into your retreats and everything that you have obviously teach. And do you do weightlifting there as well? And
Not in these retreats. In the future, I'd like to, because wow. I know the power of building strength physically for women as a metaphor for the emotional, spiritual, social strength.
Really? Does that make a difference as well?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you see, we need you over here. We'll do one together somewhere in the middle. So you're changing the landscape of leadership from school, which I didn't realize that. Have you touched on the mind-body development and the humanistic approach? So is that the religion in terms of humanist? Is that what you bring in?
For me, humanist means more like cultural anthropology, understanding the implicit needs of people. So it's more about understanding developmental processes. Right. So it's the science of, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's about what's going on in your mind, what's going on emotionally, and what kind of a developmental phase are you in your life? What are your needs that maybe you can't articulate like word for word, but you can talk around it. You can talk how you feel.
Yes.
Even though you're not exactly sure how to say exactly what you need. And from those conversations.
So you can actually do something individually for people.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then teaching women how to do that
at
an organizational or community or family level.
Because I think we're all a bit lost, really. Well, you're probably not, because you've got it all sussed with your science. But I think most other people in the world are a bit lost and thinking, you know, with their identity and in terms of with what they're going to do with their work, you know, they've changed their whole work-life balance and they've changed their priorities and they've awoken to thinking life is short and precious and what do we do with it and what do we do now? And then they are a bit lost because they still don't know.
Yeah, so exactly. Well, I think it's about going back to the storytelling. People are trying to identify what they need, but it's all external because our world is so, especially Western world, is so external, right? If we need something, we probably need something that's outside of us.
Yes. So it's that external validation. And people look for that, don't they? They look for the, you know, the money and the car and the big house and the whatever, but you're saying go internal because it isn't what matters, is it, in terms of that external?
Right. And even getting to the symbolic level within us, something as simple as if you feel hungry, slow down, pay attention to your body and say, what am I hungry for? It might not be food.
Yes. Interesting. Gosh, it might not be food. And actually, it was interesting. There's Stephen Bartlett is a very well-known guru over here and has just done a lot of incredible stuff to help youth and influence and on TV. And I read something online that he had said he was happier when he was very poor and couldn't eat, when he found a dollar or whatever, or a pound, whatever it was, down the back of a seat in McDonald's or somewhere, a fast food restaurant, than he was when his company turned over 300 or 500 million. And you just think, isn't that interesting? That actually, because that day he couldn't eat, it was everything. Whereas when he had so many millions, it didn't make much difference to the few millions he'd had before.
And you think,
wow, whereas everyone else is striving for that, aren't they?
Yes.
Interesting. So go internal, listen to those messages, as you say, the narrative, spend time with yourself, calm down, self-soothe, really, isn't it?
Yes, that is such a good way to say it. Jeez. Exactly, self-soothe, yes.
Self-soothe with and just to be kind to ourselves. We're so mean to ourselves, aren't we? Now, on the Influential Women podcast, we chat to authors and broadcasters, celebrities and women with a mission in their communities about their life work, influences and their mantra, but any adversity that they have overcome. And is there any adversity you wish to share with us? What's been the biggest setback or battle in your life that you've got through?
Yes, so much. I think the beginnings of taking in cultural norms or societal expectations and questioning, am I who I think I am? And how am I supposed to show up as I grow up? So my teenhood and young adulthood was a lot of, I think of the term, are you a chameleon or are you true to selfer? And I think girls especially really learn how to be chameleons. We learn how girls and women learn how to transform and change and pivot depending on who they're with and where they are. So learning how to put on masks and personas that were not me, the last 10 years of my life has been all about stripping those away, recognizing when I'm preparing to go somewhere or I'm preparing for a certain meeting, what's my body doing? And am I starting to put one of those masks on and my body is saying, this isn't right, this isn't you?
Yes, peel back those layers like an onion.
Yes, exactly.
And be true to yourself.
Yes.
Be true to yourself because it is all that matters, isn't it, as you change and go through life.
Yeah, and we tend to be taught that our intuition is crazy or we should listen to the messages outside of us instead of what our heart and our gut are saying to us.
Because they really do, don't they? The solar plexus tells you everything, doesn't it? But you experienced burnout, didn't you, in terms of that way of you being a hyperachiever at a very young age, trying to fit into those cultural norms, if you don't mind us touching on that. And, you know, that self-sabotage, which I think a lot of us do self-sabotage. Is that a sort of self-protection thing? And you experienced burnout. How were you meeting your own needs that gave you that serious burnout?
Yeah, it was at the beginning of my career when I thought that climbing the ladder was the thing that deemed you successful. So when I started teaching, it was like, how many hours a day was I working? How many kids could I help? So it would be wake up at 5 a.m., go do before school programming, teach all day, run other programs on top of that, coach and do things after school, get home and have just a couple of hours to maybe work on what I'm doing tomorrow and sleep, repeat. And I moved my way up out of teaching into the directorship at a nonprofit regionally doing healthcare innovation. So I left education and went to healthcare. And then from public health kind of healthcare reform into a hospital position. And I just like every job had more pressure and demand. And I was showing people like how fast I could learn and how much I knew and how good I could be at it. But inside of me, the learning was fun and the connecting with people was wonderful. But it got to a point where I was just asking like where, if I'm always going to be racing like this. And even saying that, I can feel it in my body. Oh, like my really? Heart starts well, to beat faster. And
yes.
Yeah. Right. It's amazing.
Exhausted. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So you've slowed down and you found out what's important and you found your inner peace in your personal and your professional life, didn't you, with this?
Yeah. And like you said before about the mountains and the valleys or the peaks and the valleys, they still happen. It doesn't matter how far you are in your journey. The demons are still going to show up.
Oh, really?
Right. At least you know how to face them. At least you know how when the darkness starts to float in, you know how to navigate back out of it instead of it overtaking you.
Yes.
So it's the skills of navigating and the skills of recreating that inner world so that you see the world around you differently and you can respond. Respond with intuition instead of reacting with emotion.
Oh, that's clever. And also having been through peaks and troughs, you'll have the coping, you'll have developed the coping mechanisms to use whatever you've been through in your life with the highs and lows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. You have said that successful business leaders don't give up when adversity strikes. As guests I've interviewed or their guests have said that actually it's only through failure can you reach true success. And I think a lot of celebrities and high achievers have never talked about all the times when everything went wrong. And everyone looks at just the time, think, why are they so lucky? But it's not luck, is it? It's steely determination, resilience, and just tenacity, isn't it? Just not giving up.
Yes, absolutely. And usually, at least for me, I find that in the moments that I'm just about to give up,
Yes.
Throw in the towel and say that enough is enough. This isn't for me. I'm in the wrong place. If I can make it through that evening or that day or that week, all of the sudden on the other side of it, something explodes and there's like this beautiful transformation.
That's true. And I think people or work or things come into your life at different times, you know, when you're totally focusing on something completely different, something just sort of changes you to refocus, doesn't it? And you think that's all, you know, that's all planned on the journey that we have.
I think so, yes. And that's one of those unexplainable things.
That's like the Celestine Prophecy or something, wasn't it? That book. It was, there's no such thing as coincidence. You don't believe that.
Correct. I think it's all synchronicity and it's all meant to be. And we only see it or recognize it if we're paying attention, though. If we're running so fast through life, we don't see those things, or we see them and we do call it a coincidence.
Or we miss them. And actually, I sometimes come out with these, call them life hacks, that I'm always sort of saying. We only understand life backwards, but we have to live it forwards, you know, which is almost true, isn't it? You think, oh, that's why that happened or whatever.
Yes, that is. That's so amazing. Yeah, because the learning takes us the other direction.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But at the time, you're just sort of fumbling around. So you've got these incredible things that you look at, demasculinizing women in leadership, developing self-esteem from girlhood to womanhood, and cultivating the rural woman leader through vulnerable justice.
Yes.
Wow, you've got some big sort of things going on. But what's the big picture that you say on your website, the different world that we really live in from yesterday?
The big picture for me is all about that self-esteem piece. If we can help girls and young women and women at any age, people at any age, if we can cultivate that sense of security in self so that we can identify the messages coming at us that are trying to change us, but we can put our hand up and say, nope, that's not for me.
Really? And then that changes everything.
So, yes. And from there, we can serve other people. We can take care of ourselves first in order to see a new vision, in order to hear what's truly going, like that, the idea of putting your ear to the ground and hearing the rumblings of what's going on in your organization or community. But you can't hear those things if your mind is so full of the other stories, right?
That's so true. So it comes back to stories. So we simplify this in terms of listen to the stories and get your self-esteem right. And everything, including happiness, will follow. And on your website, it says where fear of the unknown, disconnected leadership, and lack of trust are the prevalent voices in the minds of many. And the communities have been filled with angst and trepidation. So it's changing the unwritten rules, the cultural beliefs, and things that haven't changed, as you say, in centuries.
But they were good.
You know, centuries have always been good at storytelling and telling each other stories, haven't they? And I think people are gravitating back to that. Yeah. Particularly with podcastings booming and having a voice in your ear when you're on your own in your quiet time. It's quite soothing, really, isn't it? It's changing the voice in your head to somebody else's voice in your head. Mm-hmm. And I think it's making people think differently as well, isn't it?
I think so. And like you said, storytelling is age old. It's since the beginning of time. So something else important with these lessons and these stories is taking the pieces of the stories that really honor your individuality. You don't have to conform. You can take a lesson and hear it and learn from it. You don't have to become it. So that's take the best parts that honor you, and the rest just leave on the side. It's okay, right? We can let go.
Yes. And some of those, you know, mantras coming to me are take the best and leave the rest, which is what isn't it? And it's just sort of interesting. So it's making us all think differently. And as you will to all these people listening to how you think, it's fascinating. And you're the scientist, so you know you're right.
We're the ones that are all wrong.
So look within, create new models of ourselves, self-esteem, leadership, and change our beliefs. So what are your other passions? You probably don't have any time for any hobbies, do you? And you're out there helping. Is it Help for Helpers in your community? You're doing that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote a mind-body curriculum. So it's 30 different lessons for people who are serving kids face-to-face. So it's for frontline workers. Wow. And it's available to anyone in the world that wants to go through it. But it was set up and established through a foundation in Southwest Minnesota.
And that was for during lockdown or just generally you're helping people?
It was specifically coming out of the pandemic, the response to people feeling so overwhelmed and seeing colleagues out with COVID or being quarantined and seeing caseloads double or triple or quadruple and people just burned out.
They certainly are. I mean, it's the key workers, they call them over here. Yes. That have been doing all the work, and doctors and teachers, you know, and people such as your communities have really suffered. And they're suffering now from PTSD as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
In terms
yes.
of how we help them unravel that they haven't had a day off. They have right. just relentlessly given and given and given and all burnt themselves out, haven't we? So
yeah.
they need to follow your tools of
yeah
of that slowing down, really.
Yes. And also the other piece of that is starting to decharge the political division that comes at them, right? So as you're serving other people, I think about these frontline workers that are nurses and teachers, like you said, or social workers who are trying to do what they were trained to do, and people come at them as if they are doing a political thing. It's some political agenda. So they can't even do what they were trained to do. They can't do the service that they love because they're so busy fighting off new mandates, or they're so busy fighting off community feedback and community division and fighting.
And not taking care of themselves either, are they?
Right.
And also everyone that's coming to them is coming to them because they can't cope.
Right.
And that script is very powerful that they're taking on, isn't it? In terms
yes.
of, gosh, so there's a lot of people out there that need healing, and hopefully this podcast is helping uplift and change their day. So
yes.
any hobbies, do you have any hobbies that you have? Do you
yes.
have time for any hobbies is what I mean.
I have dabbled in gardening because my husband and I live on a farm. We both grew up on farms. He's a farmer and in agribusiness. But one of my favorite hobbies ever is quilting. So I learned how to quilt when I was about 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is just such a romantic American image I've got of you out there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you making one at the moment? Because you can make them with amazing different stories within them. Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm working on. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't have any in progress right now, but I've taken some from the last few years and started to name them and write stories around them to fit this model of cultivate, right? So cultivating leadership, and then how do we take a quilt and cultivate this comfort, cultivate coziness, cultivate retreat.
Isn't there in terms of actually women used to do that?
And a girlfriend
exactly.
of mine, actually, she made a quilt out of the story of her life, of all the t-shirts of bands she'd seen throughout her life.
And that was just, it was just lovely, wasn't it? When you look
yes.
back. So do you have a mantra for living your life then?
Wow, that's a great question. Right now, my word for this year is sanctuary. So how can I transform my inner world to be more like a sanctuary?
Wow, yes.
But my mantra that I kind of discovered last spring is acta non verba, so action beyond words. Instead of talking about it, start living it.
Wow, I love that.
Action beyond words, acta non verba. Verba. I don't speak Latin, but.
Wow, acta non verba, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I also saw on your website, it said, I not only hear my intuition, but I follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was lovely. And, you know, how you'd said to the girls, go change the world. And that's a beautiful mantra too. So the greatest influence in your life, was that those amazing women that you were surrounded by when you were at school?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of my mom and my dad, because my dad was a farmer. He's this big, huge, strong, burly German Viking kind of guy with a,
Wow.
like when I was little, he had a big, huge red beard, but he's the one that taught me how to nurture plants and how to, we had pigs when I was little. So he taught me how to help feral baby pigs and how to raise little pigs and just the whole life cycle of an animal, the life cycle of a plant, and that you can't force things. You can't
Very
make them do what you
interesting.
want them to do. A male model of compassion, strength and compassion like that, like singing to the pigs while we're working in the barn,
Oh, wow. Gosh,
things
what an
like
amazing
that.
family you had.
Yeah, so it's beautiful. And then a strong mother on the other side,
Yes.
whose
So the
vision was all
empathy you
about
had, a
community.
strong father helping animals and a strong mother helping children. And that, has given you such a kind focus on helping people.
Yes.
So, what's your next goal then, Samantha?
My next goal is to build out these retreats for women, but also start connecting the work that my husband and I are doing a little bit more deeply. So, on my parents' farm, I want to turn an old barn into a retreat center.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, and my husband along the way with me has been doing his own self-discovery and self-leadership development. So on his side, he's starting to get curious about helping farmers look at how do we transform agriculture? How do we look at what's best for the earth, what's best for seeds and plants, and what's best for farmers? How do farmers take better care of their well-being instead of sacrificing
And
and pushing
working
everything
remotely.
down because they have to
Interesting.
feed the
Oh, so
world.
you're helping him and then he's helping others. You're all paying it forward.
Yes.
How amazing. It was on the radio the other day and it said there's a word called wintering, and I'd never heard wintering, and I was thinking, it's
Yes.
winter over here, and I thought, I love that. And it was saying we're all in a rush, again, as you said, slow down. We're in a rush, me included, of we want the sun, we want the spring, we want, the season, we want Easter, we want all the cold, dark months out of the way. And then it said, no, slow down and be patient. And the plants don't rush it, like you were saying, be patient. They
Yes.
have to go through this process to reflect and heal and renew and repair. And so do we. And actually, I put it on social media because I just thought, yes, we all do want spring, but let's just wait. And it was just an interesting way of looking at it.
It's
Oh,
beautiful, isn't it? And it
yes.
instantly puts a picture in your mind of if you try to uncover plants too early at the end of a
Yes.
wintering phase, they won't come out. They
Exactly. Well, you look at
won't
the
survive. You
trees
have to
and they're there
wait.
for a reason and you know it will get better.
Yes.
So I think it's we need to trust, don't we, more? And it just made me think slightly differently for, but I
Yeah.
thought it's a great word, wintering, isn't it? So
It
we need to
is.
enjoy our wintering.
So
You and
get
the
back in
snow,
line with
the farm.
nature.
Yeah, exactly. Watch nature. So, any message for International Women's Day, which is on the 8th of March, obviously?
Grant yourself permission to love yourself.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because men listen to this too, and that's true for men as well. It's human
Yes.
interest. So, lastly, what key message would you give to inspire and influence women and men listening out there?
Tune into yourself and get back in alignment with what you're here to do. If you can start stripping back the chaos, the confusion, the self-doubt, and the questioning that you do inside of you, come back to that singular message of who you are, what you want to accomplish in your lifetime, and then how that makes you feel. Differentiate who you are from what you think and how you feel, but make sure those three things are in alignment with each other.
Wow, I love that. Gosh, that's really beautiful. Thank you. That will really make people think and, and help people because, people need, they will hear something that you've said, and I'm sure a lot of what you've said will resonate with people and they will take that on board and think differently. And if that makes them feel differently and heal differently and get their self-esteem back and have more happiness and look internally for happiness rather than externally, then
you've helped so many. And thank you so much for your time today. That was beautiful. I love how you say it. So you've said on your website, we are overcomers, trailblazers and rainmakers with a rebel yell on a bold mission. At our core, we're rising, we're emerging, unstoppable. This is about cultivating leadership, unearthing our greatness, planting the seeds of a new movement led by natural-born leadership. Welcome to the journey. Go change the world. I really love that. And that with your farming and your, I've got the vision now, and with your dad with that beard and surrounded by these powerful women, that's what's made you who you are and how, you know, I love what you do. And chatting to you today, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. Go change the world. This influential women's podcast is presented by Nikki Bannerman and edited by Dulce Godfrey. Please keep listening for more podcasts. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, on Amazon Music, Spotify, Google, and even Ask Alexa. Or visit our website at www.theinfluentialwomenpodcast.com. Thank you, Samantha Louise Nelson. That was lovely talking to you today. And stay safe in the snow out there. Great to
Thank
great
you.
To talk to you.
Thanks so much for your time.